Ah, yes, Gulfmash, further south. Man, you know, I wish the summer could last all year round. See, I'm so cold at this point with the weather. I'm just over it. You know, it's very cold. It's as my grandfather likes to say, it's pretty chilly out there.
It's a little chilly out there.
It is. So I've been wearing my coat all week. I went from having family members telling me, "Why don't you wear a coat?" to
you're a genius for wearing a coat every day.
I wear a coat now. Baldwin and the Berg on this cold February day, February 19th, 2021, with Austin Bechtold, Nate Preisinger, Andrew Gulfmash alongside. At least our room isn't 95 degrees anymore.
Okay.
We figured out that problem.
We did figure that problem out, and that problem was me.
Yes. Things are heating up right now in the world of sports. Well, it's the middle of February. The NFL is not playing anymore. It's as cold as the February day is in Pittsburgh. But one bit of traction that was very, very interesting out of the Steelers as they lead the show once again. Kevin Colbert speaking out earlier in the week on Wednesday about the future of Ben Roethlisberger. Now, Colbert, man, if there's any bit of confidence that you could instill in the GM saying that the franchise quarterback will be back, that was not said. That was not had during the week. Colbert basically saying, we're going to evaluate all of our options. Ben wants to come back, but we have to see what's going to happen. He's our quarterback. I love the saying, he's our quarterback right now. I don't think that was the exact words, but it was basically the general consensus. You remember when Les Snead came out 2 months ago and he said, Jared Goff is the quarterback of the Rams right now? He was. He was traded a week and a half later.
Yeah, that's not a very securing statement. The QB for right now. That basically means you're a stopping gap for whoever they try to get at that point.
Yeah, franchise guy now looking like a stopping gap. I don't know. I don't. Look, I think we're getting to the point with Ben Roethlisberger that maybe I'm even starting. I've been a Roethlisberger sympathizer at least throughout this whole entire period of trying to figure out if he's still a competent quarterback for this team going forward, at least for 1 year. That's all he will have left, no matter if he wants to come back and play further than that. But I really do think at this moment that it might be time. That's the first time I will publicly acknowledge it.
Publicly acknowledge that it could be that the bell is tolling.
This might be the time. The time might be now because, you know, if you get rid of Ben now, maybe you do get J.J. Watt. Who knows what's going to happen with him? But what if you get rid of Ben, you cut him or whatever you got to do, save a boatload of money, bring in cheap, inexpensive Sam Darnold who you can develop, and then have Dwayne Haskins back him up. And then if Darnold sucks, maybe you'd go to Haskins. And if they both suck, you're going to have a good draft pick.
Yeah, and then you get a good QB out of next year's draft.
Yeah.
So I feel like no matter what happens in the next 2 years, if Ben gets cut or they end up letting him go, at some point the Steelers will be getting a good quarterback.
I wouldn't just go right away on that. You know, it took 30 years to go from Bradshaw to Ben.
There would be a good chance at it.
Yeah, 20 years. Favre to Rodgers don't happen. New England's going to be looking for a guy for years.
Manning to
Luck. No one's ever replaced Marino. You know, Peyton to Luck is, you know, doesn't happen very often. Denver's still looking for the next Elway. Seattle's going to be looking for the next Russell Wilson for 15 years after he retires. It does not grow on trees where great quarterbacks are just going to appear like what Favre and Rodgers did. I mean, they got lucky.
Really lucky.
So looking at that with the Steelers, you're probably going to have to build up everything else to be able to – maybe you just suck for a whole entire year. Maybe you're just bad. I don't know. But I think, like I said with the Pirates, it might just be time that you got to pick a direction. You got to choose something. And those comments from Colbert, if they gave me Les Snead vibes as soon as I heard it. The non-committal aspect of we're not going to let our franchise quarterback stick around a little bit. At least we're not going to give him the confidence that he will be back. You know, what is Ben going to do? Ben's 38. Is he going to work harder than he did after injury last year?
Probably
no.
Probably not.
No, he had to work hard to get back from that injury. Now he's somewhat back, so probably not. He's still going to work hard, but it's probably not going to be at the same level. I just don't see, you know, obviously you're going to knock his cap hit down. You have to knock his cap hit down regardless. But when you need a running back, your left tackle's got to retire. Your center already retired. You got to
cut some people off.
You got to cut some people off.
And I think Bud's going to be gone too. I mean, there's going to be a whole bunch of pieces that are going to be lost on this team.
So your solution right now is looking like it's either you cut Joe Hayden, you let Bud walk, you let Schuster walk, and you don't sign any tackles. You make them fifth-round draft picks, but you have your quarterback that's very very expensive.
Yeah, and you would be stupid to do that at that point. So, I mean, in reality, does taking Ben's cap hit make sense? Yes, but the question is, will the GMs and upper office be able to do it?
Look, the Steelers have, now with Ben, after regressing after last year, they have a handful of average quarterbacks on their hands. Honestly, it might be time to move on from Ben, just the way he finished off last season. And we saw all year long that he was struggling to throw the deep ball. He was making some interesting decisions to throw the ball around and turning it over more likely than not. And when you have someone like Rudolph or Haskins back there that have the potential still to grow, that haven't really had a lot of time to play, maybe it's time to give them more opportunities. And even if Ben sticks around, I feel like you're going to see a lot more of Rudolph and Haskins than you are of Ben.
I agree. I mean, I like the Haskins signing going into it. It's a win-win situation. You win if he plays well and he ends up becoming the guy as your quarterback, and if he doesn't play well, he's on a cheap contract and you can drop him.
Well, he also has the stipulations that if he's Dwayne Haskins going to strip clubs like at Washington, you have that
publicity stunt. Yeah,
yeah, the publicity stunt. That, I mean, of course, there's character issues, but I mean, Tomlin has been no nonsense.
I mean,
not even
since AB left, he's been
very good at keeping people who we didn't know had crazy personalities under control to some degree.
I mean, people who've been in trouble with legal trouble and stuff, yeah. But he's like, obviously, you have the Juju stuff. But I think that's not legal stuff.
That's just him being Juju. But I feel like if he's able to get like Haskins under the reins to some degree and he can play competent football, this team could have some promise to it still.
Yeah. Sigh. Mm. Gasp.
Yeah.
Go get J.J. Watt and then boost up your defense. That might be the only way to do it.
Go boost up the best part of the team.
Go do that. So Penguins, you know, the Penguins, they did their thing last night against the Islanders. What do you guys make of just the team overall right now? I'm sorry. I still don't like Jari as a starter. Now, there's already been ideas and rumors and speculation that Marc-Andre Fleury could come back. We saw during Rutherford's tenure, they were looking at bringing him back. Then when there was no GM, they were shocked at bringing him back. And now there's rumors floating that John Gibson, Baldwin native, could be returning back to the homelands and being in net for the Penguins as he's falling out of favor, basically, in Anaheim.
I mean, he gets lit up in Anaheim. I mean, he's one of the main reasons that team ends up winning. I've heard rumors about Darcy Kemper, goalie in Arizona. The Pens have been looking at him.
I've heard that also Sergei Bobrovsky has been talked, not specifically about the Penguins, but
in trade.
All right, so Ronnie Hextall is not going to give up a bunch of draft picks. So what are you going to do? What do you give up in these deals? Because, you know, Hextall built up the Flyers in terms of not keeping those draft picks, making the most of them, making depth guys, and when the Flyers were bad, getting some talented pieces, not complete superstars, but very talented pieces that they're able to have on their team. You know, I think that part of the reason why Hextall was signed as the GM is don't trade all your draft picks. Don't keep giving up these first-round picks. Who's the last first-round pick to play for the Penguins? Is it Kasperi Kapanen after he came back?
Yes, it is Kapanen, probably.
I mean, really what we're going to be doing right now in terms of the Penguins and drafting in the first round? I know you've had success second and third, but you got to get that upper echelon talent in the first round to do something.
I mean,
and not trade it away for Ryan Reeves.
I mean, if we're looking to if people are looking to be realistically traded, I mean, you could see people like Jared McCann end up going to get a top end goalie.
When healthy, you also have a good crop of defensemen that you could potentially ship off.
You can ship off like Matheson, Ruedel and certain people that you need to get rid of.
It depends if you're trying to get Kemper, maybe, but like
maybe I mean Kemper's a low end, very underrated, great goalie.
Yeah, and you could trade Jari or DeSmith
in the deal,
and just dispose of them.
Yeah, and then Gibson and Fleury, I feel like would be a high return.
Gibson and Fleury would be a lot higher of a return, especially if the Ducks are going to want pieces because they're rebuilding. They're going to want pieces.
Those two trades are going to probably not Fleury so much, but I think Gibson would definitely require a draft pick. But I would definitely consider giving it up. I mean, he's only what 26, 27. I don't know his exact age, but I know he's still relatively young. So there would still be a whole lot of return and value for him to see what he could play behind an actual defense.
I would still give up a draft pick.
So would I. I think
even a first rounder.
Stop with these first-round picks.
I would still give up a first
round. Come on. I mean, Malkin's deteriorating. Letang looks he looks okay. You can't keep giving up these first-round. Well, I'm fine with a third. You know, I'll settle. But the first-round draft picks, at least at some point, especially let's say you have another flop in the playoffs again, and then that's the last stand. You need somewhat of a decent draft pick to be able to have any type of players at this point, right?
Outside of the top 10 – in the first round of the NHL draft.
All the picks are the same.
Yeah. More often than not, you're going to see very similar play, and you're more likely to hit on a low second or third rounder that just surprises you when they're a hidden gem.
Why not make that pick in the first round and be able to get two of them, first and second guy?
It's just not how the Penguins work.
It's just not how the system's been, and it's not how this team has played.
It's sort of how the Steelers don't move their pick. The Penguins do move their picks, and it's paid dividends. It has. I mean,
how did you build this team's core up draft picks? I mean, obviously that's not the best argument to make.
That was like 15. That was 16, 17 years ago, though.
Right.
We're talking since Rutherford came to town.
Since like 2008, 2009, they've built through free agency and trades.
Yeah.
Pascal Dupuis, Max Talbot was a signing.
Matt
Cook. Well, all those guys.
When those guys,
and even 2015-16, you have the trade for Haglund, Kessel, Perron,
Trevor Daley on the back end. Guys like those. All those guys were brought in through trades and through free agency signing. And yes, I mean,
yeah, because you traded all your draft picks.
But they've paid dividends. They've won.
It's paid off. They won.
Now my argument is, to the point that the core right now is deteriorating. You need a new core. Now, you're not going to be able to completely overhaul the roster in terms of the next Crosby, the next Malkin is not just going to be there in the 20th picks. You know, that's just not realistic Never will be. But something, you know, like a Jake Guentzel, who's a very solid A piece.
I mean,
or a Brian Ross, who's a solid B-plus piece or a solid A player in the playoffs. Finding gems like John Marino. I know that was a trade, but I just think that you're going to have to experiment more with picks.
I mean,
it gets annoying when you don't have that first round pick to be able to build up that capital and any talent that you might be able to hit.
I mean, you look at guys like Guentzel and Russ. I mean, the guys you were talking about. I mean,
Guentzel was a third round pick. Russ was a third round pick.
I mean, that's where the Pens, I mean, as you said, that's where the Pens tend to have most of their success. So that was probably their thought process. Hey, we draft people good in the second and third round. We're able to give up that first round pick to end up and go acquire someone that we desire.
Yeah.
To some degree.
They're not ready to rebuild yet. They're not picking that direction. So even if you do, you talk about rebuilding the core. You're still gonna have Crosby for life in Pittsburgh. There's no way. There's been rumors that Crosby was supposedly involved in trade talks, but I doubt that.
I don't believe that.
And also, I could never see him leaving the Penguins choosing to ship him away.
Malkin, on the other hand, and Letang, on the other hand,
that's different. But like, honestly, at this point, how much? Yeah, Malkin's still part of the core, but he's not providing that much. I mean, if you would trade him or Letang, you're gonna get good players in return, and that's once again the Penguins' philosophy of going and building through trades and free agency, and they still could potentially be good for a handful more years with Crosby in there. And it really, really, the biggest thing it comes down to is their goaltending play.
Agreed.
I think the offense.
In all reality,
there's been a lot of struggles so far in the season in terms of the offense and the defensive lapses, But really, it comes back down to that goaltending play.
Yeah, and in all reality, I think this team could make a decent push for the playoffs and they end up, if they go to acquire a goalie at the deadline or even it's more sooner than we think. But, I mean, back to Malkin, I mean, he's fourth on the team with points, 3-6, and through he has 9 points through 15 games. I mean, that's not great, but, I mean, he's still one of the better producers on the team.
The other thing is he's also on the power play, and you're more likely going to score on the power play, and he sits there and doesn't do too much. In terms of his physical play and what he offers in terms of getting out there and mucking and grinding to produce something, very rarely does he help that cause.
I mean, you provide good points, but I feel like there's still a lot left in the tank for Malkin. I mean, I don't know if it's with this team or not. I don't know what's up with him. Maybe he's lost the fun to play.
I will say, though, the way that Sullivan has sort of shook up the lines, the Penguins have played a much better past three games.
Tesperi Kapanen looks good.
They beat
Washington 6-3, then losing to them, but Jari played well, and then winning against the Islanders. Zucker has looked fast. He's been very noticeable. Even though he hasn't put up a lot, he scored last night.
He scored recently.
Kapanen has looked really good in the speed. Rust is doing what he does. Crosby and Gensel will eventually start to click more often. And then Malkin's just going to feed off that. Now, his play, like I said, isn't where it used to be. And I can't see him finding that again. But he'll be sort of a guy that's going to – he's going to turn into an Ovechkin role where he sort of is – an early Ovechkin role where he sort of sits around and sort of picks up loose change or gets fed. But in terms of helping out defensively and – producing and playmaking, it's just not there anymore.
No, I mean you're not gonna get that same speed and physicality which he did, but it's still a presence that teams have to be aware about, because there's always that chance. You always have to take or like defend the chance that he'll, you know, turn it on and then he'll start lighting them up and start beating teams.
There will be those moments, but not a lot.
We've seen lots of. We have not seen much go on this week. It is pitchers and catchers reporting this week. So, you know,
Baseball is always around the corner.
And the Pirates, I got to give some credit. The Pirates social media team, they're doing good, man.
Top like, tier.
They were the Cole Tucker. The Vanessa Hudgens thing was really funny.
That was really funny. I sent that to you.
The Cabrian Hayes video was funny. They're doing good, you know.
We're on the up and up. They have a good social media.
Well, you're starting to see a lot of the time that the social media teams, especially for bad teams, needs to be really good, or else everything will just, you know, no one will pay any attention.
No one will pay any attention.
Some people were paying attention for the social media team. You know, seriously.
I mean, that's the case in Columbus with the Blue Jackets. They post those memes when they win. That's the only way sort of they stay relevant on social media.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So, Golvash?
Yes?
I think it's time.
What?
We know we've talked about, we do not have much to talk about today.
Are we doing it?
Let's do it.
Oh, my God, yes.
Let's break down.
Yes.
Months and months before the season's supposed to start. Let's break down the Baldwin wiffle ball season.
Season fill.
We literally have nothing to talk about.
Fill out the form.
Hey, Austin, you doing anything tonight? Fill out the form.
Yes, so I sent out a form that said, I've told everybody, fill out this form, okay?
Fill it out.
Fill out this form, please. And Golvash, you were the first person to fill out the form, probably because you were in the room when I sent it out.
I still would have filled it out. I would have been in class.
Yeah, you still would have filled it out.
I still would have filled it out.
But I was like, wow. 42 people ended up filling it out, including Colin twice, Mongo's brother twice, Justin filled it out twice, as well as I think like there were like three of them that came in twice. I was like, what?
Pouch sent in two, didn't he?
I think Pouch. I was just like,
The fans.
Oh, my gosh. Nick Tarrett. Love him to death. He loves the fans, man.
He loves the fans.
The fans. You know, Golvash, what do you think? What do you think of the fans? Do you think we have fans, Govash?
I think there's a solid fan base brewing up over here. But to get people to actually come to the games and have the real fans,
yeah.
I think it'd be fun.
You have to provide Nate, a fan experience. The giveaways.
Nate, what do we have to do to provide a fan experience?
We're giving an Austin Bechtel bobblehead. Opening day.
Commissioner bobbleheads.
Yeah.
Provide the fan experience. I don't know.
How does one provide a fan experience?
Giveaways. Interact with the fans. Signings. Players are going to start signing.
Aaron Eckler signed with a ball bat. Come buy them.
Aaron Eckler signed with a ball bat.
Giveaway t-shirts at the end of the game. Get jerseys off your back. Shirts off your back. And then we'll have to pay for new ones.
Wow.
That's whatever.
Nate, what do you think?
Nate, what did you say? Nate, you said Nest shirt on the...
Nest shirt. You
did
said...
Did you mean new shirts?
What did you recommend?
Oh, I meant new shirt. Wait, where? What?
On the form. You said you recommended Nest shirts.
It said Nest shirts instead of new shirts.
Huh? I don't remember putting that at all.
That's okay. That's okay.
What, new shirts?
Yeah, I don't remember talking about shirts at all. What do you think? Form.
It's wow. Okay. He's lost his mind.
He's been that out of it.
Nate,
what do you think? What do you think is going to be the key to this season to be able to expand the league?
Having maybe more of like different players stepping up, and instead of just Eckler and
Eckler,
the Terrence.
You're fired. And no, the Terrence.
Alex and
okay
and. Andy being the three big guys. If there's more production on,
I mean,
all
those
across,
guys, those guys just raked all season long.
That's not a knock on any of those guys. I'm just saying
it's a knock.
No, it's not.
It can't be a knock on. I mean, seriously, going into the season,
I mean, Exer's still going to hit 40 home runs.
Yeah, he probably is. Going into the season, even though Bobic thinks he's going to break the home run record.
Maybe if Kutcher is moving that bat down a little more down right field.
Oh, yeah, Kutcher with the field dimensions.
He might break it.
You know, this leads to my idea that I know we need to have that I've already talked to like Woods and Jeremy about. We need to have a Wiffle podcast once a week. We will literally be able to talk about it for 30 minutes and like not even and just know we'll feel
what
like
do you mean? What do you mean
it'll
30
feel
minutes?
Like,
we could do it for an hour.
I know it'll feel like 5 minutes and it'll be 30 by the time we're halfway through it. I'm really curious to see, though, what the new captains are going to do. It's not a – I can't say much because nothing's official. When we promoted on the social media to all 160 people that follow us currently,
yeah.
They'll be able to see. But the new captains that are coming out, the team names that are coming out, the draft date for John Ziegler is official. I thought he knew, but it's not. I'll let him know that. I'm just looking forward to being back out there.
So am I.
Getting ready to go.
Going to practice, scheduled practices held by Eckler.
Yeah. Well, one hot debate, Nate, was what is Golvash's draft stock? He thinks, I know. So
he's a sneaky pick.
A sneaky pick. Golvash could sneak in at the back half of the first round, but at the same time, will he show up? So he might be a mid-second round pick.
I did say I'd show up.
You would have to show up.
I will. My schedule has been fixed to the point where I can play.
Yeah.
He's an issue. He's a burden on teams.
Oh boy.
They don't know.
Are you trying to call him a detriment on teams in the league?
If the Black Bears were hurting.
All I'm saying, if it wasn't for me, you guys would have probably thrown out Exler's arm. You guys would have burnt out Exler's arm.
Or we probably would have used Jeremy or me more. Like
Jeremy had an ERA in like the tens.
So Jeremy still was a solid pitcher.
Jeremy was
Exler
decent
did not. We did not use Jeremy enough.
No, you did not use Jeremy enough pitching wise.
It was me and Exler.
When Exler threw that quick pitch on me and I took him deep. Exler still mad to this day.
Exler, you already know how that goes from the documentary. Exler, you screwed us.
Exler, you screwed up. Yeah,
Exler, you screwed us.
I'm thinking like. For next year, we need people want like umpires.
Everyone wants refs.
You need just someone from the league who's not playing or
that's
like,
what we were saying. We want
just to oversee
game. We want Mr. Bechtel.
We need Mr. Bechtel over. I mean, he can only watch like one or two games at a time though. And when they say, Mr. Bechtel, what do you think? Safe route. And he's like, I didn't see it.
That's literally what happened when we played the feeders.
I know.
And Alex hit that home run and Ski grabbed it. He's like, well, I didn't see it.
Never forget when Alex had that home run, and or he lobbed, he robbed that home run, and I don't know who it was off of. I think it was off the Bulls, maybe. And they were like, "Austin, is this a home run? Is this a home run?" And I was like, where did you?" I was like, "Home run!" And then we changed it to an out, and then we changed it back to a home run.
That was us.
Was it you?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, it was us.
We had no idea.
Alex hit a home run, and then it was Ski.
Yeah, you guys still ended up losing.
We didn't. We won that game.
You won that game?
We beat them. We split with them. So, I mean, it was a 50-50 shot. I can't remember.
I forget if we won or lost that game.
What would a Feeders Bears championship have been like?
That would have been like 20-plus runs.
That would have been high
score. I don't know. I don't think so. I think it would have been Exler against Isaiah.
Well, actually, I still think Exler probably would have fine-tuned his pitching and thrown a lot harder with Isaiah pitching, and then it probably would have been a low-scoring game series.
And then I probably would have pitched a game or two in case Exler got beat up.
I still think the Feeders would have found a way. I mean, that team was dominant. Will we ever see?
We were more dominant though.
That team could do everything. Isaiah was lights out.
They could do everything hitting-wise. We were
superior.
Think about it. Andy and Alex both won Silver Sluggers. Colin was a top 3-5 player in the league. Nick Tarrett hit the most important home run of the whole entire year. That 3-run bomb off of Ziegler to be able to win that game, which was the game clinching home run. And what else? Alex won a Gold Glove. Andy did a good bit for them, and they had Faith as a little spark plug for them as well.
Faith could hit it.
Yeah.
She almost killed me.
I know. She hit a home run off Goldbash.
She did not hit a home run off.
Yes, she did.
No, she didn't.
Yes, she did.
I can specifically remember she did not hit a home
run. Well, I don't remember who it was, but someone said that was their favorite memory. When Faith hit a home run off Goldbash.
She did not hit a home run off me.
I don't remember.
I do not remember her hitting a home run off me. She didn't. She sent a line drive right up my head, and I caught it.
Exler hit a line drive right off my face. Then I took him deep the next game. That was great.
It looked like you died. And the funny thing was, you probably couldn't see it, but after you got hit, I kept running back home. I didn't stop.
I know. Teddy literally said, I said, "Teddy, why didn't you pick up the ball and throw Exler out?" And he was like, "I was concerned you might have been dead." he was concerned you were hurt.
You dropped like you died.
I dropped because it stung.
You had the glasses on though, so did you have shades
on?
No,
did I have the shades? I think I might have.
I did not have the shades.
I didn't know if you had them on because
it hit me in the perfect spot, like right in the spot on the cheek where
some padding.
The wiffle balls that we use are not like they're not the flimsy type of wiffle balls typically is. These are the hard style, hardcore training baseball like balls. That if those things, I mean, those things probably go. How fast do you think those things are going?
That thing probably zipped at you probably 30, 40 miles.
Oh, I think it was faster than that.
Really?
Oh yeah.
I mean, actually,
that thing was probably going around 55, 60. I mean, that thing was smoked right down the line, right down the third base line.
everyone hears, "Ooh!" And then Exer's like, "Go, go, go!"
And then I stay on the ground for a solid 30 seconds. I'm expecting something to be bulging out of my face. I get up. And I'm like,
I'm fine.
I feel fine. The first thing I said was, "Did we get the out?"
No.
But we did not get the out.
Because also the fielding of Teddy in our game against us was unreal. He made so many grabs off that fence.
Teddy's a good defender.
He made so many good grabs.
I'm a last round.
You're a last round pick. You think that?
No, wait, no, no,
you
no,
think
no,
you're
no,
a
no.
fifth round pick?
No.
You think you're with Four. The likes of Dan
no,
Mazinski,
no, I lied.
You and Pouch.
Also, me and Austin had a discussion last night. Will Dan Mazinski be the first ever free agent? Meaning no one will draft him.
What do you mean? There was free agents last year.
Well, so this is what we're doing. There will be 48 roster spots, but there will probably end up being around 52 people that are interested. So there will be some players that probably do not go drafted just because of interest in the league. We're probably not going to have any call-ups because we're expanding to a six-man roster. So
is it going to be like a maybe pick?
Call-ups are going to be used on a very emergency basis. Very emergency basis. We're gonna
because all the
stick
all the people
it.
All the people that we brought in are now officially playing. They're no longer called.
There's literally no one else we can think of to get to play. Like
no one.
I'm exhausting the last seven or eight people that I know that would have any interest in playing right now.
And then potential, and there's a couple potential people coming in.
And they're still trying to get, they're still getting back to me on that. What do we think of Gerchak? He's going into the draft this year.
I mean, based
where do we think? I talked to him about
it. I said this. I told you this. Based off pure athletic ability, you take him second, third round.
And also, Gerchak is an energizer guy, too. Yeah. He will definitely fire up a team.
He told Austin that he's going to the first round pick because he's going first round because he's loud.
Yeah. He gets into people's heads. That was their game plan all last year for his team.
Oh, he's listening.
He's listening.
He saw our story. He said, I'm here. You are talking about wiffle ball. He said, Dan for free agency.
Free agency.
Yes, Gerchak, if you are listening in, if you hear me right now, call me. Call into the show.
Can we?
And you will talk about wiffle ball.
An exclusive interview with Mr. Captain.
If you are listening right now, call into the show. Right now. And then we will put you on the air. Right now.
Not the actual show. Just call Austin.
Oh, he's texting me right now.
Just call Austin.
Call him. We will call him.
Call him.
Okay. Hold on. We are dialing.
He's working at Amazon right now.
No. He quit.
He's never able to be on the show.
Hold on. As we patiently wait.
As
for
we patiently wait.
Well, I have to call him, so I have to get it up. So here we go. Let's put him on speaker with the tone. Oh. Hello, brother. Hey,
what's up? What's up?
What's going on? Welcome to Baldwin and the Bird. You finally are able to make your appearance on the show.
I know. Class is over. I figured I'd hop on for a couple minutes.
A secret. We found our first guest speaker of the new semester.
Yes, our first surprise mystery caller, though it wasn't much of a mystery.
Not so, much. Hey, I'm honored to be here. Thanks for having me.
Of course, man. So what do you think? What do you think of the season coming up next year? What are you looking forward to? Because we didn't have much. There's not much to talk about right now, so we were like, we're just going to talk ball and whipple.
Listen, I'm excited to get started. We expanded to we pretty much doubled in size. I don't want to say doubled if it's not true, but I think it is because we had, 25, 30 people, and we're up to like 50-some this year.
Just about, yeah.
Yeah. So almost doubled in size. So, I mean, I think we're looking pretty good. And then we got some, of course, new faces. We were talking about rotating captains the other day when we were at your house for the meeting. So I'm kind of excited to see new leadership as well. Like I said in my my little Google form.
Fill out the form.
Yeah, my
fill out the form. The great part about it is that we had at one point there were like four. There were like 40 people that filled out the form, and six of the eight captains did not fill it out. Six.
I was at work, so I got a little bit of leeway on that.
Yeah, we were all good. It's gonna be really interesting though. We really think that this season, as I was talking to Golvash about before, this season is like league defining. This will determine where the league goes in the future.
Honestly, look, I'm telling you, if we could just get enough to get those mini fields like Major League Wiffle Ball, I think we'll be set.
Yeah, that field, having a field like that would be nice.
Yeah, we do need like
those
a set field.
Sick. Those were sick.
Those are sick.
Where would we put our set field though during the summer?
If we could get GBWAA to set us up a mini green monster somewhere off on the side, I'd be happy.
Oh, the mini green monster.
We have to build a good relationship like that.
We have to reach out. We have to talk to them.
Yeah, I know.
We have to see what's going on with them. We were talking about. Well, do you think that the Chicken Feeders are the most? Do you think they're the most dominant team we will ever see?
This season definitely, but I don't know about ever because as far as we can see, this league's only got up to go. So we only have progression to make in my eyes, as I've always seen it. So I mean, I think we gotta, especially because I said there's new leadership this year. So I think we gotta see who pops out.
Who pops off?
Yeah,
pops off the MVP.
Who pops out might take the title. You never know.
Right.
Aren't we disbanding the Chicken Feeders this year?
The Chicken Feeder's name is going to be changed this season by Colin. He's going to make it a new name, but we're not doing that every year. Just for the first year.
You can't let him pick all the TJ kids again. That's how we got messed up. That's how we got screwed the first year.
I think we've all learned our lesson.
You have to pick the TJ kids.
Well, look. So Colin will be a captain. Nick Terrett will also be a captain, and then we'll.
Oh, okay.
And then, we don't know if Isaiah's even playing. And then Andy will probably be a first-round pick, but will Andy get to Colin at eight?
At eight? Maybe.
I think it's possible.
Yeah, he might.
It's possible.
So
we were debating draft stocks earlier, Gertrude. What is Breisinger's draft stock?
Yeah.
Right. Oh well, I heard mine. I got on the nick of time to hear mine. It was pretty hilarious. Just no, but Breisinger. I mean, when we played the Black Bears, it was pretty much like a laid back game. So like we just kind of just. I don't even know how to describe it, lob pitches. Breisinger's got a good, I mean, at least against us, he's got a good track record on the mound. He's pretty good in the field. He hits pretty well. So, I mean, I say he goes similar to me. I say he goes second, third.
All right. All right. Nate likes the sound of that.
Yeah, I like Goldash, the sound of that.
He's a free agent.
No.
Goldash. Because he never shows up.
No, he doesn't.
You're going to put me in the same class as Dan Mazinski?
Yes, I am.
No.
Showing up.
No. Goldash has been openly ripping on poor Dan Mazinski today.
I know. Listen. I could tell the whole entire RMU podcast the Dan Mazinski story that I have, but I won't.
We will not do that.
We will not do that.
Not on a live broadcast.
Dan Mazinski, if you're listening, I love you, dude. I'm so sorry.
Dan the man.
He is definitely not. But hey, you know, if Dan is going to be committed to the league. And, you know, that's what we want. We want people who are going to be committed to the league and appear and show up.
And want people to pay.
Yeah, people.
I mean, Goldash, this is why we kidnapped you and put you in your own car life.
Goldash, do you have any statements to, just in case that any local police are on the listening
not,
in right now?
I was not legitimately kidnapped. I was thrown into my own. I was thrown into the back of a friend's car.
Of my own car.
No, it was actually Breisinger's car.
It was Breisinger's car.
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah, because no one. I make sure my car is locked so no one else can get into my car.
Gertrude,
hey, hold on, Austin. I have a question for you now that I'm finally on the show. I got a question.
Uh-oh.
We are talking about wiffle ball.
Yeah.
So, with this new leadership and our knowledge of the captain so far, the knowledge that we have is from the execs. Who are you most excited to see become a captain this year?
That's a good question. I have mine,
but I want to hear yours.
Yeah, looking at it right now. So the new captains, right now, not officially finalized or announced, but it's looking like it's going to be Tommy Allen coming back and getting a second opportunity. Joey Shields getting the chance after last year, taking over your squad, flip-flopping for this year, and we'll see what happens in the future. But my choice got to be Nick. You know, Nick Terrett.
The fans.
Nick Terrett is just – he's probably one of the most underrated, passionate people in the league. He believes that there's this sense of all these fans that we have, which I think he's just trying to talk it into existence, which I love.
I am too. I love what he's doing.
Speak it into existence.
Yeah, you know, after, you know, the mentality that he has and the leadership that he just possesses by just being him, you know, he is the oldest in the league. But
yeah, that's true.
Old man Terry.
But you don't think it, you know. You people have come up to me for years and have said, who's Alex's little brother? But in reality, Nick is 2 years older than him.
Nick is 2 years older than him.
So, no, I'm really looking forward to Nick just because he's got that leadership. After hitting that home run in the World Series against the Bulls, Fire Bulls, whatever.
The Fire Bulls.
Nick's just got that mentality. He's really passionate about it. He's really looking forward. I know he's already thinking about the draft. He's already got his – but, like, he was so ready. He was – whenever the idea was brought up to him about being a captain, he took it, ran with it, even though it wasn't even close to being finalized yet. He already made a team name. He already made team shirts. He's the most ready and prepared. He's been the best captain in terms of giving me everything I need to be able to provide for the league this year. So,
yeah,
his commitment has been fantastic. Who's yours?
Honestly, mine was right along the same lines as yours, but obviously I have to go with my man Shields. And anything that I do with that kid, he's always my first round pick because I love Shields. Like, we work well together. All right, so Shields isn't like energetic, like. Shields matches my energy in his own little way, and that's what I love about Shields. But other than that, like Shields, like you said about Terrett, he's a leader. He's excited to be a captain, and I think he has. I don't know what the right word is for it. He's got the, I'll say swag. He's got the swag to build a team, and he has the swag to win games.
He's got the shield swag.
Yeah, you know, Joey at times is quiet, but you know he pretty much leads by example. Just a good dude, competitive. He's competitive.
He gives me Freddie Freeman vibes.
Joey is a prime example of letting your play do the talking.
Yeah.
Because he didn't really talk, but he would hit homers. Like he would field.
And
the heck out of
he will openly tell you that in the first like 3 weeks of the season he was bad, but from week four on, Joey was great. Double
MVP, dark horse. It was the mask. It was COVID. Joey.
Joey did not have COVID, for the record.
No, he did not have COVID.
His parents made him wear a mask. He hit double digit home runs. I think he drove in around 50 runs. He was just solid, consistent. He played great defense. He ran the bases well. He's just a good fundamental guy.
That's perfectly sums it up. He's a fundamental guy. Not too flashy. You know, hits the ball, runs it around, plays well. Nothing much to it.
Before we gotta let you run, you're going to be giving the opening speech for the second year in a row at the opening day for Ball and Wiffle Ball this year, either May 16th or May 23rd. Not exactly sure yet.
Yeah.
Give us a little preview of that. What are you looking forward to? What are you going to be telling us going into year two? Big year for the league. Statement year.
Yeah, this is a big statement year. So I'm thinking, well, of course, I got to say hats off to the new guys. Thanks for showing up. I'm not going to give you the full speech yet. It's a little trap.
Of course, you can't. You can't.
Yeah, can't spoil it. But we're going to say what's up to the new guys, make them feel welcome, let them know how big it is, what type of community we are, that we come. We come every Sunday, put our game faces on, we play, and we have fun. Let them know what we're about. Make a statement. Tell these guys they got to find their why. Why did you come today? Did you come to have fun? Did you come to mess around? Did you come to play?
Or did you come to win?
Usually we come to have fun and play.
And we come to win.
Come to win.
Yeah, we come to win.
It's crazy because, you know, when I would tell interested people last year, hey, We're creating a wiffle ball league. I was expecting laughs and people to be like really?
What is this?
But listen, let me be honest. When you called me when I was at school still, and you called me right before we came home for break, that was literally like a year ago. Probably close to it. Weeks.
We started really recruiting beginning of March.
Yeah, so you called me like right before spring break started, probably like the week before I came home or so. And then you called me. I was sitting in the basement eating in my dorm, hanging out, and you were like, Gerchak. I said, what's up?
Wiffle ball.
You were like, you want to start a wiffle ball league? And I was like, yeah, dude. Like, who's all in? And then you sent me the list of, like, 25, 30 names, and I was like, oh, this is good stuff.
Yeah, it was just crazy to me. And, you know, I think if we used regular wiffle gear, like the yellow bats and the regular wiffle balls, unlike the Easton plastic bats we use and the wiffle balls from the Strike 3 Wiffle Ball Company, shout out to them. Big thank you to them for providing the balls this year. They came up clutch 100%. They're awesome people, awesome company. I really think that maybe we would have had less interest. But even when I reach out to people now and I say, you know, it sounds like I know how it
sounds outlandish.
I know how it kind of sounds, but it's a lot of fun. And people now are, when they hear about it, they're like, oh yeah, yeah, like it does sound fun. I'm not denying that.
Because everybody at some point has at least played wiffle ball with somebody with their friends.
What is crazy to me, Gerchak, is the fact that I will just go around and just, like, I'll see people that I barely talk to, like, I just kind of know, and somehow wiffle ball, they will bring up the league, and I'll be like, how in the world did you know about this?
Everybody knows everyone knows the commish.
Same thing with me. Like, I'll see people that I don't talk to as much here and there, whatever, and they'll be like, oh, like, is that, are you guys still doing that wiffle ball thing? And I'll be like, oh, well, you know about that?
I know.
Like, I've definitely brought it up before, just, like, in subtle conversation, but, like, never fully in depth, especially the people that I don't talk to on a regular basis, like you guys.
Yeah, it's been just insane, the amount of input, outreach,
turnout
that we've gotten, the amount of people that have just heard about the league and just want to be a part of it, and want to just learn more about it is just crazy. I have parents coming up to me and asking about it. It's crazy, man. But I love it.
The thing is, like, all the call-ups that we had, they were like, oh, I'm not so sure. But call-ups were specific to team captain. So, like, if, say, I had Ziggs would call up whatever one of his closest friends. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we called up Staley.
Yeah, exactly.
Staley!
Staley was like, oh, I don't know. But then Staley got out of the car. I remember I shouted. I was like, Staley! And then he was like, let's go! And then he had fun. So, like, all the call-ups are like, maybe iffy, but then they have fun, and then they end up probably coming back if we ever need another one.
Staley went from, I don't really know if I want to come around, to shows up the first week, and I'm telling Jared, we need Staley back every week. Like, he's good, he cared, and now he's one of the most passionate people in the league. When I talk to him about the league,
he gets hyped
for a while, yeah.
And then he's playing this year, right? Like, he's in the draft.
Of course.
What's his? What's Staley's draft stock?
What is Staley's draft stock? What do you think?
Oh, honestly,
yeah.
For his performance last year, it was really hard to tell.
Yeah,
but he was really consistent. He was a consistent performer. So,
is that Sean Waterman?
Is that Sean? Where?
No, it's not.
You're an idiot.
I thought it was. Like, we saw there's somebody getting a tour right now, and I thought it was Sean Waterman, and I was like, that wouldn't make much sense, but it kind of looks like him. That's another guy we could have join the league.
Sean would join.
I'm not against it.
Already
I'm not
getting potential it. People, but yeah. Sorry to cut you off. What were you saying?
So Staley's draft stock?
Yeah.
I don't know. He was a really consistent performer. His numbers were good, and then like you said, he came the first time, and then you were like, we got to have him on. And then it was to the point where it was between my team and Ziggs' team where we were debating as if we get to get Staley for the playoffs once we broke your team apart. Just in the end.
The Firebirds.
The Firebirds disbanded the roster.
Yeah, they did pretty hard. But hard. I say again, he goes around where me and Nate go. Honestly, he might go sooner.
I would say maybe, but the potential with an early first a late first to early second. That would be my guess. That sounds about right to me.
Yeah.
So let's go into our predictions now of the show before we wrap it up.
Predictions.
So I have three things here. The first one is with the first pick in the 2021 Baldwin football draft, Gershak, who will Nick Terrett select?
Oh, I didn't even know Nick got the first pick. Jesus.
Unofficially on
the
clock.
Do we pass on Gerchak to give him an answer?
I think he's gonna pick his brother.
I can't
see him not picking his brother.
I think
he's taking Alex too.
Yeah, I think he's gonna pick his brother because they were an absolute powerhouse last year together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Industry sources are throwing out there that Alex is definitely a possibility. Bryce has been thrown around a little bit, obviously.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about Bryce.
Other names have been thrown. There's been a lot of names thrown around at the top of the draft.
Yeah.
It's crazy to see. out of the three completely new captains, Joey, Nick Terrett, and Tommy, Gulvash, you go first. Who do you think is going to have the most success? We have not drafted yet, but who do you think, just based on being a captain, is going to have the most success?
I mean, Where's Joey drafting?
Joey will be in the middle of the draft.
I think it's Shields. I think Shields will come out with the most success. I mean, as Tyler said, he's a great quality leader. He shows up to play every day, plays his heart out. And, he's probably been strategizing about this for a long time now. I think he's going to have a good system, good idea who he wants, and I think they're going to come out with a good record.
I think it's going to be Exler. Because
the new captains,
new captains,
oh,
three
new,
new
captains,
three new.
He said,
"Now let me tell you about Exler."
Yeah, I'll stick with Joey then. Yeah, Joey's a smart guy.
Joey,
all right, who do you got? I was stuck between Nick or Shields.
Who do you have, Gerchak? I'm the commit, so it's hard for me to talk about it.
Yeah, if you talk about it, I think it might be a conflict of interest.
Yeah,
but honestly. As much as I love the Terrett, I have to pick Shields. Again, for the same reasons I said before, if Shields is my guy, I got to stick by him.
Yeah, I think he's going to be pretty good. Last one. How many trades do you think there's going to be in the league? We saw two last year. We saw the awful trade that I gave you trading.
Perchick just laughing.
The awful decision of mine to trade for Connor Woods and give up Mason, who ended up being top three in the Cy Young voting and top three in the ERA category. And then we saw the second trade being Chris Bobick for a fourth round pick being traded from the Bulls to the Gators. How many trades did we get?
Were you the only two trades?
Oh, yeah, that was it.
I don't know. Yeah.
Golvash, how many trades did we see?
I definitely, since there's more teams, people aren't going to have the certain players that they want, so I think trades will happen more frequently. I'm saying three or four.
Okay.
I'm nothing too crazy, just a double from last
year. Nate, any trades?
You stole the words out of my mouth. I'm going double from last year, four.
Four trades, oh boy.
Are you allowed to speak on this?
Yeah, I can speak on it. Yeah, I'm also a captain, so I think, I feel like right out of the gate, if I don't really necessarily like my team, I might be putting people on the block. I remember after the draft last year, the biggest move that didn't happen last year, I don't know if you guys will remember, was the Golvash. I don't even think you and Nate know about this. Gerchek, I think, does. The trade that fell through between Nick Terrett and Nick Pouch that almost happened after the draft.
I remember you guys were talking about it, weren't you guys calling people?
Right after the draft. Calls were being made to Colin.
I remember that, yeah.
I was like, give me Nick. Because Colin did not think Nick was going to be good.
You almost gave him power.
Nick would have helped you tremendously.
If I would have had Nick, then I probably would not have traded Mason. So my team would have been me, Nick Terrett, Mason, McGurvey's 20 home runs.
But in reality, there's a chance.
And Jared, that team makes the playoffs.
I remember also. After,
but in reality, we might not get Staley into the league though.
Yeah, we might.
I also remember after the draft, I was like, you were like, I don't know about Pouch, and I was like, we'll take him. I was like, the extra. I was like, let's trade for Pouch.
They were gonna trade Pouch for Woods.
For Nick Woods.
Because I didn't.
That would have been the Woods roulette shuffle, or the Nick roulette.
The three way Nick deal.
Yeah, Woods was pretty good. What's Woods' draft stock?
He hits really freaking well.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
He's too tricky of a player. Yeah. I mean, unless we fix the strike zones, I feel like it's just going to keep hurting him.
That's very true.
The strike zones are being fixed.
The strike zones are being fixed? Okay, yeah. I see Woodsy as the same place I saw Staley, as a late first or early second.
I see Woods late second.
Not everybody could be a late first or early second round pick, though.
Well, I mean, but like that's
that's
an accurate.
That's where they fall, though,
that's
yeah.
Yeah, that's where they fall. Not everyone's going to end up going there.
Listen, honestly, I put Woods in the third, like mid-late third.
Yeah.
He hits well. But
he's too slow.
Every time he runs the bases, he complains.
That's such a Woodsy thing.
So you're looking at a first round that's going to include like Alex, Bryce,
possibly me.
Maybe Golvash could sneak in there. Dom.
Golvash is not good at first round.
I've had multiple people say they take me first round.
Yeah.
Dude, yeah, maybe if you started showing up.
I am showing up.
Gerchak wouldn't pick you even if you were in the fourth round.
I know he wouldn't pick me.
Honestly, I might pick Golvash first round just because he's a sneaky little guy. Like, he's fast. He's great in the field. And his pitches are so awful. Like, not awful, but, like, they're so...
No, they're not. Get out of here.
They're awfully hard. They're hard to hit. Like, I don't even know.
They are.
You're going to have to compete with John, though. I'm pretty sure John's been inquiring about Golvash taking him first.
Ziggy has been inquiring about me since the day we lost.
Yeah, so Golvash has been a hot topic. You've heard about him a lot. Mason could easily go first round. You've heard rumblings Mongo could go back half of the first round.
For Couture.
Dom's coming back. That's a prime target for Ziggy, I'm sure, after having him last season. I'm sure Exler might even try to get him. Who knows? So, final thoughts before we let you go.
I'm just looking forward to a great season. That's it.
Go Bolden Wiffle!
Hell yeah, man.
Of course. All right, Gerchak. Appreciate you coming on, boss. Tower Gerchak.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, see
you,
buddy.
Appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you soon.
See you, dudes.
See ya.
What a great conversation.
What a great spur-of-the-moment call.
That was awesome.
That was really good.
Does anybody have any rant to say? Because I don't. That was good enough for me.
I don't. I think we ran. We ran over anyways.
Shout outs and we'll do it.
Yep. All right. Shout out my mother, my father, my brother, and any of my brother's friends if they are listening, which I don't believe anybody currently is right now, or else they would have texted me. Uh-huh. Shout out my dog Oreo, since I normally force Austin to shout out Muffin.
My aunt has a dog that's also named Oreo.
Oh, that's very nice. But thank you guys for always tuning in when you can, and I appreciate the support.
I'm sorry, but when you said shout out to my dog, I thought you were gonna say shout out to my dog, like
shout out to my boy.
Yeah,
my dog.
That's what I thought you meant. But anyways, I don't have any specific shout outs today, but shout out to my mom. Her birthday was on Tuesday. We'll give her a nice little shout out.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Miss Breisinger.
Happy birthday.
But just shout out to anyone who just listens to the show in general.
That's what I do.
Without telling anyone, just shout out to those people.
Yeah, shout out to my family as always. Shout out to all the people that shared the AJ Brahma story last week. That was a big story, big breaking news coverage. Nate did great on the social side of it. And there's Goldberg waving outside the radio room. Hello, Goldberg. Shout out to Goldberg. Do not like that he – yes, Goldbash, he also did get a haircut like you. Do not like that he always wears his fire stuff, but from me, from Philly, that's what you do. Shout out to all the people that may be listening to it. We don't know.
Shout out to Gerchak.
Shout out to Gerchak, no doubt. We know who you are. We thank you for listening. We don't exactly know who you are, but I did talk to somebody today that wanted to listen to the show, but was busy because of school, and I was sad. But that's okay.
We'll now be happy.
We'll talk to them later. Big show, Paul Wood and the Berg. This was a fun show.
This was a fun show. Anytime you get to talk about Wiffle on the show, it's a good show.
It was a good time. We didn't have that much sports content to talk about. It was a big Wiffle show, but that's fine. It's great. It's Baldwin. It's Baldwin.
It's sports content. That's still sports.
It's great. It's great. Love it.
Wonderful.
Love it.
Go back. Hey, do you have any music?
Do we have a?
That's okay.
Do we have a? No. I'll
Can you play the Baldwin Wiffle Ball official theme song?
Do we have is there such thing?
Catching him off guard.
No, we do not.
Is there such thing?
I think you need to sing one. I think you need to sing an official song for us.
I will not sing.
All right. That's it for today. Happy Friday. Make sure to check out my Twitter.
Don't check the Twitter. Don't check it.
For my fish fry review tonight. I'm reviewing a fish fry, Italian fish fry. Thanks for listening. I'm Austin Bechtold.
I'm Nathan Breisinger.
Yeah.
We will see you next week. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you later.